Good morning.
Let us prepare our hearts for worship by singing the hymn of preparation as printed in your bulletin. Good morning and welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church. I'm Lee Roberts and I'm congregational nurse here on staff. First of all, I'd ask you to, at some point during the service, preferably not during the sermon, sign your name on the attendance pads that are located on the center aisles of the pew here. Sign your name. Pass it down the aisle. Down the pew and then back up and tear off the top sheet and put it in the offering plate. We want to welcome our visitors today. We truly pray that this will be a wonderful, uplifting, and worshipful experience for you today. If you have any questions or would like to speak with someone on the church staff, please drop a note in the offering plate or you may call the church office and the number is on your bulletin. There are a few announcements I'd like to bring to your attention today. First one is tomorrow at noon is deadline for the family fun night that's going to be this Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. This is family fun night for everybody, not just people with children. And this will be at for bowling at Expo 300 on this Wednesday night. Deadline's at noon. You'll find information in your newsletter about the town hall meeting that we're going to have on Wednesday, August the 12th at 6:30. And this will be to discuss Children's and Youth Sunday School. There is an insert in your bulletin that you can complete and turn into the office or turn into the offering plate regarding questions you would like to have addressed at this town hall meeting. There is also information in the newsletter and the bulletin regarding our new pictorial directory. There will be dates and times available on forms that will be on tables outside the Amen Corner here. Please sign up for a date and time for your picture for our brand new pictorial directory. Ask that you please contact the church office if you're not getting a newsletter either by mail or email. You can contact the office or, again, drop a note in the offering plate. Finally, and sadly, we do want to remind everybody that there will be a funeral service here tomorrow at 11 a.m. for Hack Robinson, who died Friday evening. Visitation is tonight from 6 until 8 at Harley Funeral Home. Hack is survived by his wife, Gail, and three adult children and numerous nieces and nephews and grandchildren. Let us now center our hearts and minds as we continue our service of worship. Thank you.
please stand and join me for the call to worship? Let us hold fast to what is good. Rejoice in hope. Persevere in prayer. Give joyfully in love. Stand firm in one spirit. Strive side by side with one mind. And worship God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now please take out your insert and sing this arrangement of When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.
Be seated. On behalf of Main Street's youth group, welcome to Salkehatchie Sunday. This morning you will be able to get a taste of what our Salkehatchie experience was like. Salkehatchie Summer Service is a pioneering servant ministry through the South Carolina United Methodist Conference, involving high school and college age youth, adult community leaders, and persons of different cultures in upgrading housing, motivating community cooperative efforts by helping persons to help themselves, and providing all participants with opportunities for spiritual growth and service. Ma'am? Many of our neighbors in South Carolina live in homes needing repair, and Jesus called us to love our neighbor. South Carolina United Methodist youth need to experience Christian servanthood. In Luke, Jesus said to all, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." This week was not just about building houses. It was about building relationships with the homeowner, our site members, and with God. As we continue with worship this morning, we hope that you will open your hearts to see God through us and to be a blessing to you. Let us continue to worship together.
The Old Testament reading for today comes from Psalm number 13. You can find it on page 609 in your pew Bibles. Hear now the word of God. "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. My enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me." This is the word of the Lord.
I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for the skies may turn to gray. I don't worry about the future, for I know what Jesus said. And today I'll walk beside him, for he knows what is ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. Every step is getting brighter as the golden stairs I climb. Every burden's getting lighter. Every cloud is silver-lined. There the sun is always shining, there no tear will dim the eye. At the ending of the rainbow, where the mountains touch the sky. I don't know about tomorrow, it may bring me poverty, but the one who feeds the sparrow is the one who stands by me. And the path that is my portion may be through the flame and flood, but his presence goes before me, and I'm covered with his blood. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand.
The epistle reading comes from Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 through 17. You can find it on page 246 in your pew Bibles. Hear the word of the Lord. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothed through your compassion, kindness, humanity, and gentleness, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievance you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And to be thankful, let the word of the Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach one another with all wisdom, and as you sing hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in the word or the deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
As we move into our time of prayer, let us remember those who are on our ongoing prayer list and those whose names we have on our hearts. This prayer comes from St. Francis of Assisi. Let us pray. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is discord, union. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. Grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. And now we pray the prayer that your Son, Jesus Christ, has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Now let us give of our tithes, our offerings, and our special gifts.
True word, I am in with thee. thank you for providing us with everything we need. God, we lift up our gifts to you. May you bless them to do your work according to your purpose. It is in your Son's mighty name we pray. Amen.
We now invite the children to come forward for children's time with Lisa Smith.
Good morning. I want everybody to sit, girls, I'll move to, where you can see what I've brought, my prop. Come, chop. Okay. I don't know if you can see this. You may, Mabry darling, you may have to get a little bit closer. I have highlighted a lot of places on this map. Can you see the yellow? There's about 40 places that I have highlighted. And by the way, what map are these two lovely assistants holding? Does anybody know what map that is? What it's a map of? What? It is a map of South Carolina. Very good. What I have done is to highlight all of the places where students who are 14 years and older and people like me, adults, can go and work on repairing and improving people's homes around South Carolina. Can anybody find Greenwood on the map? Hint, hint, I've used a little red to help you. Look. Okay, go up a little bit higher. Go to the... very good. Bingo. That, show everybody, put your finger there. That is Greenwood. That is where you live. Now, can you put your other hand on the other red dot down there? That is Bamberg. And Bamberg is the camp or the city where we went from Greenwood. And we were sent there to work on people's homes. And I don't know if you noticed, but I used the word sent on purpose. We were God's construction missionaries. I don't know if you know this either, but in the word missionary, there is a Latin stem. I bet those rainy boys up there remember what the Latin stem is in missionary because I taught them that. Do you remember what it was, guys? Don't make me look bad. Missionaries, M-I-S-S. Do you remember what it means, boys? Remember the little frisbee we did in class? I guess not. Okay. All right. It means to send. So missionary means to send. And we were God's construction missionaries for one hot, tiring, very, very awesome week in Bamberg, South Carolina. Now, we worked on 8 different houses. Can you imagine how many people and how many homes were affected? Look at all of these yellow places I have marked on the map. There were people 14 years and older working on houses, many houses, in all of those places I have highlighted. That was some awesome mission work, wasn't it? But you know what? You don't have to be 14 to do God's work. And guess what? You don't even have to swing a hammer to do God's work. You have the very best tools that there are to do God's work. Do you know what they are? They're very basic. Can you show me your hands? You have your hands. Can you point to your feet? You have your feet. Can you point to your mouth? You got your mouth. And if we had our Bibles up here, that would be our other tool. And that's really all you need to do God's work. So when you leave church today, I want you to think of or try to find lots of ways that you can do mission work without even leaving Greenwood, by helping someone and really just showing people that God is in your heart. Can you do that for me this week? Okay, can we have a prayer, please? Dear God, thank you for people who are willing to be sent out to do God's work. Help us to be your tools in our daily walk. Amen.
Now let us pass the peace to one another with the love of Jesus Christ. Standing.
Check. Mine's working.
Check. You can stay standing for this hymn, Sanctuary. We sang this a lot at Sakahashi last week, so we wanted to share it with all of you.
Sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving I'll be a living sanctuary for you. It is you, Lord, who came to save the heart and soul of every man. It is you, Lord, who knows my weakness, who gives me strength with thine own hand. Lead me on, Lord, from temptation, purify me from within, fill my heart with your Holy Spirit, take away all my sin. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
The affirmation of faith this morning is located on page 883 in your hymnal. It is a statement of faith of the United Church of Canada. Let us remain standing together and affirm our faith. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who is come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Please remain standing for the reading of the Gospel. It comes from John chapter 6, verses 27 through 35. You can find it on page 119 in your pew Bibles. Hear the Word of God. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do?" Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, "He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
Today is Salkahatchee Sunday, and this prayer is so appropriate because I am sure that each of us prayed this prayer at some point while we were on site last week. It's called A Prayer to a Listening God, and as I pray this, just imagine how a simple prayer as this can be so meaningful at the right time. Let us pray. O God, we labor in the heat of the day, and so often the labor feels hopeless, unproductive, and useless. And yet you hear our silent cries. You give us one another to speak that which we in our pain cannot speak. You give us your word that utters those things we cannot find the words to say. And not only do you give us the words to speak, but you also turn your ear to us and hear us. Even when all we have strength to whisper is, "Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer." For you have promised to hear us. You have promised to turn your face to shine upon us. You have promised to be our shade when the heat of the day saps our strength and the well of hope runs dry. And you have promised, even in the silence, to give us the sweet sound of peace. Amen.
God is good.
All the time.
And all the time?
God is good.
That's the way Webb Belangia, the minister at Trinity Methodist, gathered all of us each day as we were having our prayer time or our blessing time or whatever time it was. There were 90 of us there, so as you can imagine, it took a lot to get 90 jibber-jabbering mouths quiet. So that's how he began our day. And as I was thinking about what I would say today, I thought, wow, what a great message. God is good. And that's the reason we're sent to Salkahatchee, to show God's goodness. We were provided wonderful weather all throughout the week. My daughter has been to Salkahatchee for years, and she kept saying, "Dad, you better get her outside. She doesn't sweat. You know she doesn't sweat, and it's hot down there." So I did sweat, I promise. I had proof, I think, on one of the pictures there that I did sweat. We were safe all throughout the week. If you can imagine, there were 14-year-olds on up to older than me, using tools, power tools, and no one was hurt. Nope. We came back with all fingers and all toes, so we were very blessed with that. The site that I worked on, site two, we were told before we went, please lock up your tools, make sure that you don't leave anything out unattended, because a crack house was beside the house we worked on. And all week long, we had no problems. We had all Greg's tools were back in Greenwood, safe and sound, so we didn't have any problems with that. And you think about all the homes. There were 8 homes that we worked on, as some of the people have already said. And all of those homes were completed. And if you could have seen the houses in the beginning, we trashed them before we got them back together. And had I been the homeowner and all those kids in my house, especially Miranda Stockman and her paintbrush, Miranda's a wonderful girl. Her painting abilities, however, are lacking a bit. But she's great with the tools and the hammers and all of that. So their homes were all complete by 9 o'clock on Friday night. I think Kathy and Jimmy's site finally returned with the completed home. So we were pleased for God for that. We had wonderful food there all week long, too. We had a little corner in the fellowship hall that I called the Table of Sin, because it had food, every food that you can imagine. If you've ever had Barbara Shelley's chocolate cakes, well, they had chocolate cakes, numerous ones there, and caramel cakes just like that, and they were fabulous. So we were blessed with good food all week long. Each night, we had a service in the sanctuary, and we all had to attend, and the focus for the week was 5 places that God promises to be with us. And I just wanted to share a few of those with you today. One place that God promises to be with us is when 2 or more are gathered in His name. And we, on our site, we had 9, well, we started with 11, but 2 got sick and went home, and we ended up with 9 people. And the relationships that we built with those people was just awesome. Greg talked last year about going and working with Miranda in particular, was on his site last year, and he said, you know, I've seen these kids growing up all of the years, and, you know, you just see they're just little ratty kids running around. You don't really build a relationship with them. But during Salkahatchee, you do. You build a relationship with them, and you learn to love them and cherish them and see what great kids they really are. I think a lot of times we hear the negative about teenagers, but when you're at Salkahatchee, you see the wonderful parts of those kids. They're great. They work together, they get the job done, and it's just an awesome experience to get to be with him. Another place that we learned that God promises to be with us is when we're in the Word. And each day on the sites, we have a devotion with the homeowner, and we were fortunate in that our homeowner was there with us every day, although he did have a job. And he was with us every day, and we said a devotion and got to pray with him, and we began to realize as we built that relationship with him how much he appreciated us being there. One of the guys on our team, we had a little bit of money to use on the home, and one of the guys on our team had a suggestion. He said, Miss Seeley, I've got a great idea. He said, let's get his name was Charles Lott, but we called him Stump Knocker. That was his nickname, and he wanted to go by Stump Knocker. So let's get Mr. Knocker a Bible. So we did. We got a Bible, and everybody signed it and wrote a Bible verse in it, and I think it really meant a lot to him. So we were in the Word every day. And the last place I want to talk about is that God is with us with the least of these. And all of the homes that we were in during the week down in Bamberg, the people were so needy and so appreciative of everything that we did. This gentleman whose home we worked on, he had just junk. We would call it junk that you get at the yard sale. But all that stuff was so valuable to him. And even on the first day after we worked on his home and removed all of the stuff from his home and pulled it out to the road for the city to pick up, when we got there on Tuesday morning, he had all drug it all back up and kept it and had nice little piles of junk. But he cherished that. That was his stuff, and he cherished it. And I guess he was just proud. Well, we knew he was proud, and he was pleased for us to be there, because every day when we came after leaving his home a mess on the night before, when we got back the next day, the porch was just swept nicely, and he had a napkin holder with the Bible verse on it, and he had that and a little frog just nicely sitting on his front porch every morning when we got there, so we could see his pride. But as my first year at Sauquehatchie, I would encourage any of you to go if you have the opportunity. It's a wonderful opportunity and something that you'll cherish from now on. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Colby Tharp. This is my fourth Sauquehatchie at Bamberg. And as usual, I had a blast. It was great. First thing I want to say was I was on site 7, and that was the best site, just to let y'all know. Wesley Runyon was on site with me. He's back there. But to tell you the truth, on Saturday when we toured the sites, I wanted to be on site 8. That's where I wanted to be. I felt like God was calling me there. But whenever we wanted to choose sites, we sat down at tables. I sat down at the table that was assigned site 8, and there was at least 10 other people there. So I was, and then the table next to me, site 7, it had like 3 people there. And then I felt that God wanted me to go to site 7, which now I'm very glad that I did. It was a very good experience. We were blessed to only have one rookie with us. The rest of us were have came before. First thing I'm going to do is tell you about the house. We had a trailer that didn't have a porch. That to get into the trailer, you had to step up stairs that were made of cinder blocks, and that was hard for me to do the first time I did it. So I knew it was hard for our site owner. She, Miss Glovern, she is overweight and has diabetes, and then she has a nurse that comes in every day to check on her. But she was so thrilled and happy for us to be there working on her house, and I was happy to be working for her too. More about the house. Her bedroom is pretty bad. Was pretty bad. The bed, it was sunken into the floor. The only thing that was holding the bed up was carpet that was stapled into the floor. The floor joists were gone, so the only thing that was holding up the bed was carpet, and she slept in that bed, and she was scared every night that she was going to fall through. And then on the outside of the house, there was no underpinning anywhere, like around the house, so she wanted to get that fixed. More about Miss Glover, and she was so happy for us to be there. And then on Thursday, we were telling her that we were working and we didn't have much time. And she thought that we were going to be there for a couple weeks, like 3 or 4. But we told her that we were leaving the next day. We were leaving on Friday with all our work done. And then she started tearing up because she didn't want us to leave. And we didn't want to leave her either. And then on Saturday, whenever we toured the houses, she cried again because she didn't want us to leave. And she saw all the other Sauquehatchie members coming to view her now beautiful home. There was, I think, let me think, hold on, 8 people on our site, and one of them was Mr. Ray. He lives in Bamberg, so he's local, and he knows the city pretty well. He works for, he builds houses for a living, and he's really good at his job, let me tell you. We couldn't have finished without him. Oh, we didn't finish yet. But more about him. He, after we left, on one of our site leaders, Tommy Snipes, he was a great guy too. He knew what he was doing. After we got back, Tommy, Facebooked me, and, he said that Mr. Ray, had installed an air conditioning unit and a heating unit for our site after we'd already left. So he's still continuing to work on that house right now. And he also got a price for the underpinning, because we didn't get a chance to do that because we were focused on the floor of the house and building the porch. Like, we built 2 porches, and let me tell you, they're the best porches you've ever seen. Wesley can vouch for that. But he got a price for the underpinning, and he's going to put that up for us after we've already left. It's been 2 weeks since, or 1 week since Salt Catch has been over, and he's still working on that site. Our site was very blessed to have Ray on our site, and I was very blessed to be on site 7. I was going to leave you with a scripture. This is a verse from Psalm. We did a devotion each. A different person did a devotion each morning, and whenever I did it, this is the verse I chose. I forgot what it was. It was Psalm. It's from Psalm. Idle hands make a man poor, but diligent hands bring riches. So I think that goes along with Salt Catch very well. That's all.
Good morning. My name is Debbie Tharp, and I don't know where to put this. This was my first year at Salkehatchee also. All three of my boys had gone previously, and I felt like it was my turn this year to go. I was able to go 2 weeks before camp started as an adult to go visit the sites and kind of choose which one. There were 8 sites, and I realized that there were 2 of them that I didn't want to be on. And then there was one that I kind of felt like there was a calling for, and I felt like I could help there. So Lane Wiedemann and I were on the same site together. We were both rookies, and we kind of wanted to stick together. And then we were also blessed to be on site with David and Peggy Enzer. So we had 4 adults there. And David Enzer had been like 12 years prior to this one. And he is an engineer with Santee Cooper, and his wife Peggy makes cabinets and installs them. So they had a trailer full of any imaginable tool that you could think of. I cannot imagine being on a site not having the tools that they had. It made our work a lot easier. And I kept remembering that when we were supposed to go, that the adults are supposed to help, you know, teach also. We're in a teaching mode. And Emily Wiedemann was on our site also, and so was Dwayne Enzer, who are our young adults. And they actually taught us more than what we probably taught some of the others that were there. So it was good to have Emily there too. When we went and visited site number 5, our first day as a group, we did notice that our site owner, Ms. Hightower, didn't appear to have very much faith or hope. She didn't really take care of her house. She and one of her sons, who was probably in his 20s, very large, probably over 300-pound man, lived there. And you could tell that the porch was falling apart, the screen had fallen off, they had put in plastic up and tried to make do. They only had probably 1 electrical outlet in each room. This was an old house, 1 floor, 10-foot ceilings, that kind of thing. And they didn't have a kitchen that worked. They had no hot water. They were cooking off of a little hot plate. And when we came there, they were very quiet. And every morning we'd start with a devotion. So I was thinking, well, we got to get these people where we get to know them. So every morning I'd call them down, and they'd come join us in our circle and have devotion. And when we'd have our prayer, we'd always hold hands together. So we included them in that every day of the week. We gutted out the entire kitchen, and I mean entire kitchen. We took everything out, floor, everything. We were standing on the dirt. And while we were doing that, there were other people. David was putting an entire electrical system in the house. This is the box outside, the box inside, more outlets in each room, lights where they could have light in the ceilings. Then there were people outside scraping paint off. I mean, everybody was busy the entire time. We had 10 of us on the site, and like I said, 4 adults, 2 young adults, and then 4 other high school kids. We never had to ask the children, the youth, to do anything more than once. And sometimes you didn't even have to ask them. They were just constantly doing things, looking for something to do. And we worked very well as a group, didn't have any conflicts. David got the electrical system put in by Thursday, late Thursday, early Friday, so he was working on that all week. Dwayne, his son, ended up putting new floor joists, flooring, luan in the kitchen. We ended up getting them a new oven stove unit, a new hot water heater. We got them an air conditioning unit to go in her bedroom, and we painted the entire outside. We had a pressure washer to get all the paint off and scraped, and then repainted it. And we painted two rooms on the inside. And like I said, that 10-foot ceiling, when you walk into that room, and then there's, you know, it's really dark. We painted it a light color. We had a new light come down with a chandelier. And when the power went on that day, it was just awesome to see that room light up. It was like the rays of God coming from heaven to brighten up that house. And at the end of the week, when we all were together, going to say goodbye to her, let me back up just one second. I had Wednesday was my MWM. It was my midweek meltdown. And you think at the time you have signed up to do all this stuff, and you think, oh my gosh, am I going to get it ready? Are we going to finish? And there was always something that you could find to do. I mean, I kept wanting to do more, and everybody kept saying, we're only here a week. You've got to do it Sockahatchee good, because it's better than what they had. And I talked to my middle son, Mackenzie, midweek, and I was in tears, and I was telling him, I just don't know if we're going to get it all done. We're working so hard. And then he said, but Mom, you know, you work so hard, but then you come back to the church, and you all meet in the sanctuary together, and you have time to glorify God. And that's what made me realize that, you know, what's so awesome is that you do all this work, you don't realize you're doing it, and then you come into the house of God and you're worshiping with all these 90 plus people and just praising God and glorifying Him, and it just all comes together. And then Friday, when we were leaving the site, I went up to give Miss Hightower a hug goodbye, and her son had helped us a lot, because we had had two situations where, well, they were scary to me, but the young people, they just bounced back. Emily was on the roof one day, and she stepped on a soft piece of wood, and her foot just went all the way through, and we thought she was going to go down. And then Matthew, with this other fellow, was up on the roof putting cool seal on the tin roof, and got to an area where it was wet, and he started sliding and he couldn't stop. And Larry, the son of the homeowner, big fella, gets up there and, you know, just puts his hands up and stops him from falling. So we had two near case scenarios where God was watching over us. And they, towards the end of the week, started helping us out a lot. You know, they would help us carry things into the house. But then when I gave Miss Hightower some of the Christmas in July special items, and we were hugging her goodbye, I hugged her neck and told her that we loved her, and she actually said, well, I love y'all too. And then we came back the next day after we left to let everybody see it, and she had already fixed the place up. She had painted the inside of a door that we didn't get. She had hung all her stuff in there. And it just, then you knew the pride was there, and the hope and the faith. And it's like, you know, these people really have to have a lot of courage to give their homes up to us, strangers that they don't know. And we did fix their house up. And I think I'm one of those scenarios where they always tell you to make your children go the first year, because then they'll go back many years after that. Like I said, Colby was on his fourth year. I think Mackenzie went 6 years. And I think now I fit into that scenario where I went my first year because I just felt like I had this inner urge. It was my turn, and now I'm ready to go back next year. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Miranda Stockman. This is my fourth year participating in Sockahatchee, And every year, God never ceases to amaze me with what he can do. It's different every year, but I come back just as wowed every year. The home that we worked on was actually pretty different from anything I'd ever done before. It was one of the nicer homes I'd worked on. We replaced siding that had rotten out, put new siding up and new window. We gave him an AC unit. We fixed up taped plumbing and built a porch, redid the ceiling, and we painted a lot. As Celie told you, I was nicknamed Master Disaster for my lovely painting job. So don't call me if you want paint, because it's not a good idea. All these things are important when you're working on a house, is giving these homeowners what they ask for. But the most important part and most rewarding part to me is getting to know the homeowner. We worked on a older gentleman's house. His name was Charles Lott, as Celie said, but everybody called him Stump Knocker, so we called him Mr. Knocker. But he had just a ton of stuff, and everything had a story to go along with it that was usually at least 15 minutes long. And when he was gone with that, he'd come back with something else and be like, hey, let me tell you about this. And we're like, okay. So we listened to all his many stories about his stuff, and it just showed me how much we would come back the next day, and he would have mopped and swept and put his little decorations out on the porch, his little frog and his plant he'd hang up on the porch that we had been working on. And I was like, we're not done. We're getting ready to just mess it up again. You know, why are you wasting this time to clean up? But then it reminded me that this is his home, and this is what he takes pride in, and this is what he truly cares about. And he was trying to learn all of our names during the week, and I told him, I said, well, my name's Miranda, and he said, oh, I have a stepdaughter or something named Miranda. And I was like, oh, that's cool. So he would go up to everybody and ask your name or whatever. He had a picture of his Miranda that he showed me about 15 times, and I was like, okay, thank you. But his reaction was really encouraging to us. He would, we were standing out there one day because we were waiting on Mr. Greg and Mr. Kevin to get back, and we didn't really know what to do, so we were just kind of sitting there, and he said, well, do y'all want me to pray for you? And we said, okay. So he comes over there, and we all hold hands, and he just says, thank you, God, for putting these people here. Amen. Short and sweet, but it made me realize how big of a difference we are making in his life. And he went out and bought us popsicles. He forgot to freeze them, but he had them if we wanted them. And building relationships is certainly the most important part of Sakahatchee, because we realize that the stuff that we do is not going to last forever, and you know, could be messed up because we're doing it. But what really does last is the hope that we give to these people and the love that we show them, and we hope that we inspire them as much as they inspired us. Thank you.
we wish that we could tell you about all of our sites and about all of our experiences if we had time. But just come, go up and ask any of these teenagers and adults about their experience, and I'm sure they would love to tell you. They're more than just the four that spoke. We all experienced an awesome, amazing time. And now we share with you our UMYF benediction, which is located in your bulletin. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.